This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, the president addresses the nation last night on immigration and border security. Joining us today to discuss these topics and more from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Also there, Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and the Hip-Hop Culture. And Roland Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender, joins us from our bureau in Chicago. I welcome you all. Mary, let me start with you. The idea that we saw this president take to prime time, something that he's done very rarely during his term in office, says what?
Poll numbers down, eager to get attention for himself, worried about the issues and wanting to seize an initiative. And I think what he proposed, the National Guard part of it, some people say it's cover for the trying to get the guest worker amnesty bill passed. Others say that it's not cover. It's whatever it is, it's all bad because the immigration situation on the Hill is in a mess. Even if they were to pass the Senate bill, it would still be in a mess with all these graduations of who can get amnesty and who can't and when can they get it, and families all connected. And the National Guard, as everybody knows, is overstretched. The president knows it. We saw in Katrina how Louisiana didn't have their guard. They were over in Iraq. And the National Guard could have been very helpful. We're coming into hurricane season. We've got earthquakes, tornadoes. We've got all kinds of natural disasters, and there's still Iraq, and we don't have enough. So, but the president did the best he could with what he had, which was to make a speech, lay out a middle, get himself some attention, and look like he's ahead, but give a sort of muddled presentation. And I'm not sure it's going to do him much good.
Yvonne, what about what Mary suggests there? Many people did, even those who aren't necessarily Bush fans, say of last night's performance that it wasn't bad, that he tried to find some middle ground, and whether you want to call it amnesty or not, he's trying to push his program, and as we know, Washington, D.C. is tit for tat, so he's trying to find that middle ground.
Well, I think a lot that has been said is the truth. I don't think it was a great showing. I think that all of these politicians are really loath to want to put something forward that makes sense. We talk about the National Guard. I think the issue about whether they are overstretched is a legitimate one. But also, too, if they look, they're talking about doing two-week rotations. They're only talking about being there a year. They're not doing any law enforcement. We're worrying about whether or not Vicente Fox is going to be concerned about the border being militarized. I don't think Mexico's concern is necessarily our concern. If we're serious about the border, then we're going to put some money into it. We're going to get some more patrols, and we're not going to do these ad hoc type of measures. And I think that's what I hear over and over and over.
Yeah.
We're talking about this guest worker program. I don't see any money for that. We had Simpson Mazzoli, and that whole thing was supposed to be a deterrent, you know, in 1986, where we were going to have the cut off the flow of immigrants because we were going to have the employers stop hiring them. Well, there was no enforcement. In 86 and 87, there were only 950 INS agents throughout the whole country. So I hear a lot of these initiatives. I hear a lot of rhetoric. I don't see much money, and I don't see much will to get this thing done. I think most people are for legal immigration. I think we understand that the country is going to change. But the idea that, you know, people come here unlawfully, it's just not really acceptable to people all over the world who want a better life. And we really have to have some type of system that is fair and equitable to everyone who wants to come here.
You mentioned Mexican President Vicente Fox being concerned about the militarization of the border. The president did address that last night in his speech. Let's take a listen.
The United States is not going to militarize the southern border. Mexico is our neighbor and our friend. We will continue to work cooperatively to improve security on both sides of the border, to confront common problems like drug trafficking and crime, and to reduce illegal immigration.
Now, Roland Martin, even though he sounded a little bit like Mr. Rogers, Mexico is our neighbor and friend, he's still saying that it's no plan of his to militarize this border.
Well, the actions are going to suggest that that is not correct. I mean, what Vicente Fox is most concerned with is limiting the number of Mexicans coming into this country, because he also understands the millions and billions of dollars that are flowing back to his country by those individuals to their families. And so clearly he does not want to see an aggressive policy. I mean, again, Vicente Fox is not fighting to keep residents of his country in his country. I mean, he has no problem with it whatsoever. Again, I think what you face here is this here. We are in that six-month window, and that is we are less than 6 months before there's an election in November. Republicans are running very scared. There is the strong possibility that they may lose the U.S. Senate. They, depending upon how Democrats are able to put forth some strong candidates, they could lose the U.S. House. And so this is about politics. This is about holding on to power. Bush also understands that if he loses one of those chambers, now Democrats have an opportunity to hold hearings, to subpoena witnesses. And so the last thing that he wants is one of those chambers in the hands of Democrats. So clearly, this is politics. This is not simply about securing our borders.
Mary, let me take us away from the idea of immigration solely and ask what Roland referred to there. I had lunch with a number of people. We talked about this yesterday. If, in fact, Republicans give up one or both of the houses in mid-election, isn't it going to make it harder, a harder fight for Democrats in the sense of the right is going to hammer the president to really go conservative to make sure that they keep the White House?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been having those discussions with people, too. Might be better off, some say, for the Democrats to not win in November any house and just come close. They would be responsible in one house, if they win one or both, for initiatives, for taking leadership. The president, you'd have a standoff. You'd have the president being even more vocal and pushed. And then they might not get anything passed. It'd be all this contention, whereas now they can sit out and say, if they gain a few seats, look, you know, we're still the alternative, we're still pushing, and that this might help in 2008. But I guess the way I feel about it is if you can win something, you ought to win it when you can win it, because you never
right.
know what's going to happen down
you
the road.
Got that right.
But Ed, I did have to say one thing finally about the Mexican, or finally for me, about the border in Texas. Bush is also caught because he's a Texan, and philosophically, Texans know that the border down there is porous, and that people go back and forth, or have been doing it for years, all the time. Families on both sides, they know that they've gone, the Anglos there know that they've gone from a situation where they were the conquerors, conquering Mexico, and going to a situation where you couldn't even, Latino kids couldn't even speak Spanish in school as late as the 70s without it being called a dirty language and being kicked out, to a situation where Hispanics are very important politically, culturally, and every other way. And so the best rational policy would be to open the borders and recognize that and let people go back and forth. But he can't do that because of the politics of the election season.
We should note what the numbers that they're talking about here, Roland, and then pick up your point, porous at best. This would really amount to about one guard per mile. And if you don't really have the ability to use force, you can just imagine a guard three-fourths of a mile down the road yelling, saying, stop, stop, don't go. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Well, no, again, absolutely. And again, that is going to be the problem, because when you suggest that the National Guard, they're not going to have a law enforcement role, they're going to be forced into that situation. There's no doubt, because you're not going to be able to hire these 6,000 Border Patrol officers over the next couple of months. As a native Texan, I'm making the point that Bush, when he was governor, made it perfectly clear to Texans, look, they're not going anywhere. You might as well accept this. And so made the effort to say they're going to work. They're going to be in our schools. We're going to care for them in our hospitals as well. And so, yes, what worked in Texas is not going to work across the rest of the country.
All right. Interesting, Yvonne. Let me take you to move and transition to our next topic. And some would suggest they wouldn't have seen this during the Bush administration, but the United States is to renew diplomatic ties with Libya. For those that don't remember, the name Muammar Gaddafi became a household name because of that country here in the United States.
Sure. I think that is nothing that we should be surprised about. The United States will do business with countries whom they feel they have interests with. Despite the deflections, we're talking about oil here. And it's not to say that Muammar Gaddafi has not made some overtures to renouncing terrorism. That's on the record. It's not to say that it has not been discussions. But I think that we would be remiss to not acknowledge that, you know, there's a big issue around oil. We need it. They have it. And under those circumstances, that I think that we'd be more willing to do business with a host of people. And I think that as long as we have this great dependence on oil, we're always going to find ourselves jockeying with with people, whether it's in African countries or whether it's in the Middle East, trying to decide, you know, whether or not we're going to talk about human rights versus what our other interests are. And I think this is what the quagmire we're going to find ourselves here in. The human rights record for the country has not substantially changed. So the fact that, you know, we're talking about their allies in terrorism doesn't do much for the people in their country. So, again, we're betwixt and between, and we're going to keep fumbling as to what we really believe in and what we're putting out there in the universe.
I had wait, just a minute, Ed. I had the honor of being kicked out of Libya years ago and can attest personally to their anti-democratic regime and the dictatorship that is in existence there, and say that this clearly shows that the administration's policy of moving toward democratization throughout the world is just another one of those. You know, this administration, all administrations lie, but this one does it so incompetently. That's the part that gets you. I mean, it's another example of incompetence.
Mary, historically, we should not be surprised of this fence jumping in any administration. We have seen, the evilest of evil become our friends and then back again, including Osama bin Laden for years and years and years with many, many administrations.
Well, that's
absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mary.
Yes,
go ahead.
No, Roland, go ahead.
I think one of the other issues that jumps out is that over the last couple of years, Gaddafi has really made a strong attempt to operate as a moderator of issues with other African countries. If you look at what was taking place between Sudan and Chad in terms of what was happening in Darfur in terms of the refugees there. And so he has been gravitating to more of a statesman's like role even on that continent. And so this could potentially help him in terms of shaping a different sort of philosophy there. He's encouraged African countries to create an African Union along the lines of the European Union so they can have a stronger hand when it comes to trade as well. And so I think we can talk about, in terms of him being a dictator, there are lots of dictators across this country. We do business with them every single day. I think this could also be a benefit in terms of a stronger Africa, depending upon the direction he goes. The only question I have is if he's still going to give Louis Farrakhan that $1 billion he promised several years ago.
Mary, let me ask you, do you believe this is a sense of Gaddafi understanding the business dynamic of the world, or do you believe that the leopard changed his spots?
Oh, no, it's clearly about, and as I said, having been there, it's clearly about all those oil deals and the economic benefit. Also, they got scared to death, you know, with the Iraq war, that they were going to be next. And so that was a deterrent to make them change. And this is also for the United States policy, a signal to Iran that if you will just, you know, make nice and say you give up your weapons and so on, look, you can have all these oil deals and more money and all the rest of it like Gaddafi. So I think that it's one of those situations where benefits are seen on all sides, but the quixotic leadership, if I can call it that, and the anti-democratic regime in the country makes no difference. And as Roland says, we deal with anti-democratic regimes. In fact, most of our best friends throughout the world, except the West, anti-democratic regimes.
Yvonne, real quick for me, albeit almost 20 years ago, many people held Libya responsible for the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. When you talk about this axis of evil and fighting terrorism, is 20 years enough to heal that wound that the Bush administration, who's out in front of this, should say it's okay?
I'm quite sure the families don't believe that 20 years is a sufficient amount of time, but for the Bush administration, it's probably overdue. So their belief is that now they have an ally who's helping them in their interest. Libya is saying they're going to cooperate in providing information to further this investigation that should have already been concluded. And they've already paid, I guess in their mind, restitution to the victim's family, I believe $2.7 billion. So again, I'm quite sure the families would have a very different take on this, but the Bush administration is forwarding their goals, that's their take on it.
Let me get to this very quickly with only a couple of minutes left, if you'll all chime in real quick. This comes out of Missouri. It's just one of those stories we go, wow, and quickly talk about. A teacher has asked his students to write, this was an assignment, to write about who they would kill if they had an opportunity and how they would do it. The teacher has been suspended. We should note that he suggested that this was not, I underline not, a formal assignment, Roland Martin.
Well, what the hell is it? I mean, what creative writing? I mean, I can't imagine how would you kill somebody. I would be running from that class as quickly as possible because I don't know what's going on in that teacher's mind. I have no idea.
Mary, he suggests, the teacher, that this was just a lapse in his judgment, but we laugh about it now, but it is frightening to think that a teacher would give this assignment in today's time.
Right. I think that he has bad judgment. He's something psychologically must be going on there, and at the very least, he ought to be taken out for somebody trying to analyze what's going on before he's put back in the classroom. In fact, it's frightening. For a lot of different reasons that he would come up with that and raises lots of very serious questions.
You know, Yvonne, I don't know if it's nervous laughter sometimes that we give or the normalcy of this kind of ridiculous behavior that is we become almost accustomed to.
I think it's a little of both, and I think it's unfortunate, but in this day and age, I think we really should be talking about maybe some mental health and criminal background screening of teachers. We've had a lot of these sex scandals with men and women, drug testing. So despite all of the laughter, be it nervous or otherwise, I think that we're entrusting people to our children that we don't know anything about. So I think this is a lapse in judgment, but it could be a sign that he has some other serious problems. So again, we're talking about No Child Left Behind and all these other things. I like to know who's in front of the classroom. Forget about the testing, but who's actually doing the teaching. And I think we need to have some broader discussions about that.
Well, if we look back in his history, we may see that he was one of those children left behind. So let's hope the program
Absolutely.
Works.
Whatever
Mary
Frances
Berry, Yvonne
Bynum,
Roland Martin, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed.